The following podcast is brought to you by The Power Plant. Light up the night! Hey everybody, welcome to Pokemon World Tour.
I am your perpetually lost host, Jake.
And I am the most electrifying tour guide in podcast entertainment, Josh. We're going some places today.
We got a couple stops we gotta make before we get to the next major metropolitan center.
Remember last week when I was like, oh, I'll look up some Pokemon news for next time.
You didn't?
I didn't.
Hey guys, guess what? No new news.
No Pokemon news this week.
No Pokemon news.
If you are following us for Pokemon news, it'll get better if we ever get a website.
Yeah.
But for now, still follow like the actual Pokemon social media accounts, because that's where we just get our news from anyway.
Yeah, I get my news from you, mostly. So,
but yeah, we're not going anywhere settled this week. We're running some mountains and some abandoned buildings.
I'm excited.
But first, we gotta go through a couple routes.
Josh, I'm gonna level with you. I don't remember where we left off.
We left off right outside of Route 9.
Okay.
To the east of Cerulean City.
Didn't we just do Vermilion?
We did, but we had to go back up because now we're going over toward Rock Tunnel, which is to the east of Cerulean.
Right. Gotcha.
Okay, I remember saying that we went back up there in the last proper episode.
All right, as long as everyone is on board. Also, sorry that last week's episode was a little late, even though you didn't know it was coming, sort of. So
I don't think we need to be in the business of apologizing for bonus episodes.
Yeah, I feel guilty about everything. Anyway, take me to a place. Take me on a route, Josh.
All right, we're going to start on Route 9, which is a very long, not very long, it's a pretty long east to west route. It's pretty rocky. It's got lots of ledges and cliffs. There's a small river that runs north to south to the far east of it, which also then runs into Route 10 and leads down around a mountain to a secret building that we'll talk about later.
Okay.
As far as trainers on this route, there are 9 to 10, depending on which generation you're in. Not counting the sequels, because like trainer stuff gets weird in Kanto in Gold and Silver. And
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it's a Wild West situation.
So we won't count those. But there's 9 to 10 trainers. They range from levels 18 to 23, and it's a pretty good mix of bug catchers, hikers, and junior trainers, or campers, I think they were changed to in Fire Red and Leaf Green.
Okay.
The male junior trainers are campers, and the female ones are now picnickers.
Okay, I don't know if I like that.
Which is weird.
Because anyone can camp.
Anyone can camp. Anyone can picnic.
Anyone can picnic. That's just a choice that they made.
Yep. All right, so Pokemon on Route 9. In the grass, in Gen 1, there are Rattata, Raticate, Spearow, Fearow, Sandshrew, Ekans, and both Nidorans.
Okay.
In Gen 2, in addition to those, they add Mankey, Primeape, Marowak, Venonat, Venomoth, and Zubat. And you can surf in the river and get Goldeen and Sea King, or you can fish in the river and get Magikarp and Goldeen and Sea King. And then Generation 4 has swarms. In Heart Gold, there's a Sableye swarm, and in Soul Silver, there's a Mawile swarm. If you play the Hoenn sound, you can get Linoone or Whismur, and if you play the Sinnoh sound, you can get Bidoof or Buizel. And then items of note on this route, because I'm trying to cut routes down, we're trying to
burst through the route real quick, because they're not super important.
Right. I mean, they will be later, but none of the Kanto routes are anything but just places for trainers to be.
Yeah, it's just place to level up.
So for items, there's TM30 in Red, Blue, and Yellow, which is Teleport. That turns into TM40 in Fire, Red, and Leaf Green, which is Aerial Ace. That's located in the southwest corner. There's a Rare Candy in Fire, Red, and Leaf Green in the northeast corner. And in Heart Gold and Soul Silver is TM91, which is Flash Cannon, and that is in the northeast corner, past the hiker, and requires Cut.
Okay, which we have now.
We do, we have Cut. We can cut all day. And so that leads us now to Route 10, which runs from the end of Route 9 south, so it's a north-to-south route.
Okay.
It's split in half by Rock Tunnel, so there's just like a giant mountain in the middle of it that you have to go through the tunnel to get around. So there's not really much going on the north half. There's a Pokemon Center outside of Rock Tunnel. The river continues down and around to the secret place, which is the only place where there's grass on Route 10.
Okay.
So we'll talk about the Pokemon in a minute. The south half of Route 10, which is when you come out of Rock Tunnel, is just like a bunch of ledges and some trainers. And that's it. There's really nothing going on Route 10. It's just a place to put Rock Tunnel.
Right. Yeah. One of those like necessary, but not necessarily
right
filled in.
Yeah.
It's just it's a path. It's a way to get somewhere.
I think there's a couple picnickers outside of Rock Tunnel next to the Pokemon Center too. Because you have to kind of go down and around some hedges to get to the entrance.
Right, I remember that.
And I think there's some picnickers there. So on both halves of the route, there's a total of 6 to 7 trainers. They range from level 19 to 21, with the exception of one Pokemaniac who's outside the secret place, who was level 29 in Gen 3 or 30 in Gen 1. He's higher because you can't get there until you come back with Surf, so right. He's a little higher leveled. But as far as the trainers go, it's another even mix of picnickers, hikers, and Pokemaniacs. And the Pokemon in Gen 1 in that one patch of grass are Machop, Magnemite, and Voltorb. And if you fish in the river... So the river runs from Route 9 down and around to Route 10.
Okay.
On Bulbapedia, they only have fishing data for Route 10. I don't know if this is a weird mechanical thing or if Bulbapedia is just overlooking stuff. I might have to look into it.
I don't know.
I won't be able to really look into it until February 27th. The original games come out on a virtual console.
Right. Yeah, maybe it's just like it's like the same river. So they're like, whatever, just have the same Pokemon.
That could be. But you can fish for Poliwag, Poliwhirl, Slowpoke, Krabby, Kingler, or Horsea. In Generation 2, in that grass, there are also Electabuzz and Quagsire. Generation 3 adds Tentacools to the surfing portion of the river and Gyarados and Slowpoke to fishing. And in Gen 4, there's a special Pokemon outside of the secret building, but we won't talk about that yet.
Okay. Mysterious.
In Heart Gold and Soul Silver, there is TM69, which contains Rock Polish. That's on the southern half of the route and requires strength to reach, push a boulder out of the way to get up on the ledge.
That was such a weird mechanic. Still probably is.
Still,
I don't know.
It's a little better now. You still have to push boulders around, but they're huge boulders, not just like little rocks. And you push them into holes, and then they just stay there for the rest of the game. So you don't have to bring strength with you every time.
Probably my second least favorite TM, or HM, after Flash. Because Flash is just like...
Flash, they turned into a TM in Gen 4, I think.
Can you still use it regular style? Yeah. There's nothing to...
Yeah, well, in Gen 1, you can use like... Dig, which is just a TM, but you can use Dig and Teleport outside of battle. Right. But you don't need badges, I guess, is the difference.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So that brings us to Rock Tunnel. You ready to go? You got your backpack on and your hiking stick, and you're ready to...
Got my backpack, I got some nice boots, I got some snacks.
Ready to go spelunking in the cave?
I'm ready for this. I got a headlamp, just in case.
Oh, you'll need it, because this is the dark one that you need to use Flash to light up. So Rock Tunnel is a naturally formed tunnel through the mountain that separates the two halves of Route 10. But it's the only way we can get to Lavender Town because everything else is blocked off by like grumpy guards and stuff.
Grumpy guards and construction work.
And Snorlax.
Sleeping Pokemon. such a convoluted map when you think about it.
It is. It looks straightforward just looking at the map.
Yeah.
But like all
like
the obstacles and stuff.
All the way around. Yeah.
Bounce you around like some kind of crazy washing machine. Because it is a natural cavern, it is filled with an inky darkness that can only be illuminated by the Pokemon move Flash. Though through some heavy trial and error, it's definitely possible to bump your way through it in the darkness. I did that in the original Red and Blue.
I feel like I have done it.
I don't think the first time. I think just as like...
Can I do this?
Just to be like a tough video game guy. Right? I was like, I bet I can get
just
through that.
Just for bragging rights?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I did. And man, the way I played video games when I was a kid compared to the way I play video games now is drastically different.
Yeah.
I would never even try that now.
No, I probably wouldn't. I think, I don't know if it was the first time I did it. It might have been the first time I did it where I was just like, well, it's dark in here. Okay. And then I just went through and hit every Pokemon.
Yeah, because in Gen 1, like it's pitch black, but you can still see like a faint outline of the walls, but you can't see yourself at all.
Yeah.
And I think you might be able to see the ladders leading between the floors. I'm not sure.
I don't remember.
But like, you had to just like guess where you were.
Yeah.
You could faintly see an outline of some of the walls. And like that was all you had to go on. And I made it through that whole stupid cave that way.
Yeah, I don't know if I tried it or if I did it. Eventually, I was just like, oh, I can use flash in here and it gets brighter. Huh. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, if you didn't go through Diglett's Cave and get flash, you just have no idea that that's even a thing. Because nobody tells you that, I don't think.
I don't know.
Someone in the Pokemon Center mentions it.
Right, if you're talking to everybody. Speaking of talking to everybody, once we get to Johto, I got a fun story about that.
Well, I look forward to that sometime in the middle of next year.
Later. Anyway, continue.
It consists of two maze-like floors full of trainers and numerous dead ends. And Heart Gold and Soul Silver, the map is drastically different from the rest of them. The Gold, Silver, and Crystal one is like different, but you can still see the same map through it. The Heart Gold and Soul Silver one's just completely redone. It's much more rocky. There's a lot of raised ledges and like cliffs. There's rock climb walls and boulders that you can rock smash just everywhere. And it feels much tighter, like way more confined.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not specifically said at any time, but I think it's supposed to be like maybe it caved in at some point.
Right. Because I like that.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot junkier. There's not just wide open space like there was before.
Especially in the dark, being like, it's real tight in here.
Yeah. There are a lot of trainers in here. There are 15 trainers spread throughout the two floors of the rock tunnel.
That's a lot in the dark.
There are 6 hikers, 5 picnickers, and 4 Pokemaniacs with levels ranging from 19 to 25. There's one of the Pokemaniacs has a Charmander, and one of the picnickers has a Bulbasaur, but everything else is pretty standard, like your hikers have Geodudes or whatever.
I think this is probably the first place where you see a Charmander or a Bulbasaur out in the wild.
I didn't write it down. I thought I did. On Route 9, one of the campers also has a Charmander.
That's so weird. Like that's
That's it. Everything else on there is like Bellsprouts and Machops.
Yeah. But it just kind of adds to the like conservationist side of Pokemon where it's like, oh, these ones are very rare. They're endangered.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right. Wild Pokemon in the Rock Tunnel. In Generation 1, there are Zubat, Geodude, Machop, and Onix. This is the first appearance of Onix in the wild. It only appears in one other cave, I think.
I think it's on Victory Road,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's in Victory Road. I think that's it.
Because I remember catching, like a level 30-something Onix, and I was like, you're on my team now, because my team was garbage.
Your team was Blastoise.
It was Blastoise.
And just, like, whatever the first 5 Pokemon you caught
were. Yeah, and, like, 5 others. Well, it was, like, ones I caught and ones I liked, but still didn't train at all. Yeah. You know, just because, like, I got Blastoise.
I think that first run was me and my Blastoise and just, like, the first 5 Pokemon I caught.
I had, like,
because Pidgey could learn Fly, so I didn't need to swap anything out.
Well, I like Pidgey, so I had it there. But, like it was, like, oh, I got an Eevee. Like, you know, like, and here's the evolution of it. It's just, like, Pokemon
got
that
this
I was,
level
like,
20
I like you.
Jolteon that I evolved, but it's just chilling here.
He's just
not
hanging
doing
out.
Anything.
Waiting for Blastoise to die to get a chance. Spoilers, Blastoise did not die very
Blastoise
often.
Never died. If he did, I was done. I was screwed. Generation 2 adds quite a bit. They add Cubone, Marowak, Haunter, Machoke, and Kangaskhan gets added to the rock tunnel.
Kangaskhan?
Yeah, it's a very rare, and I think it's only a 5% encounter on the bottom floor in the second generation.
There's like one in there you gotta run into. Like in kayfabe, in the Pokemon kayfabe, there's like one down there. They found its way.
It just broke out of the Safari Zone and ended up in Rock Tunnel. Generation 3 adds Mankey and Graveler. You can get Graveler out of Rock Smashes, the boulders and whatever.
Yeah.
Generation 4 doesn't add any new regular Pokemon, but the Hoenn Sound, you can get Makuhita and Absol, which is a really cool Pokemon.
Everyone loves Absol. I haven't gotten into Absol.
No?
I never got into Absol. It's my little brother. I think it's my little brother's favorite Pokemon.
Really?
Yeah. But it's just like, it's cool, and I get it. It's like, oh, it's a yin-yang, sort of. Like, I just never got into it.
We'll do a spotlight on Absol sometime. Maybe we'll bring you around.
Yeah. Eventually,
I think he's cool. He looks cool. I'm not a huge fan of his feet.
I couldn't pick
they're
his feet
a little,
out of a lineup.
They're a little, like, clumsier than I would like.
Yeah.
But I like the whole, like, involuntary bad omen thing that he is. We'll talk about him later.
Yeah.
If you play the Sinnoh Sound, there's Chingling and Bronzor. For items, there's not much of note until Gold and Silver, where there's TM-47, which contains Steel Wing, which is in the center area of the first floor, but takes a bit of traveling around to reach it. And in Heart Gold and Soul Silver is TM-56, which has Fling, and that is on a raised platform north of the southern entrance, if that makes sense. Go in the southern entrance, the one by Lavender Town.
Right.
And it's north up on a raised ledge.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's really it for Rock Tunnel. It's a neat place, but not a lot is going on in there.
It's just like
there's a bunch of lost trainers in the dark.
Yeah, I like that. I like that no one else there can see.
One of the picnickers will like walk up to you. She'll be like, don't try anything funny in the dark.
Okay.
Even though like the cave's probably illuminated, weirdo.
Right.
Just back off. You're the one who walked up to me.
Yeah, you came up to me.
You saw me with your night vision if I did not use flash.
Also, I am a 10-year-old boy. Leave me alone.
You're a picnicker, which is a junior trainer, so you are like an 8 to 10-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Maybe she was getting some weird stuff from the Pokemaniacs, because they're kind of weird.
Pokemaniacs seem like they would be a little weird. Pokemaniacs, some of the super nerds, just kind of worry about them, especially in the dark.
So now I guess we'll move on to the super secret place on Route 10.
Okay.
All right, so we surfed down the river around the mountain.
Okay, first of all, back in the day, finding this place made me feel like a wizard. I felt like Indiana Jones when you're like, can I go down there? I can. And there's a thing here.
There's just a whole building that like you never need to go to or no one ever tells you about.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You're just like, there's some water. I can ride on that. So I'm gonna. And oh my God, there is the abandoned power plant of Kanto.
Bum-ba-da-bum. That's why there's some electric Pokemon hanging out in that grass.
In that grass, yep. It was abandoned many years ago and has become completely overrun by electric-type Pokemon. Some of the machinery inside is still said to function, though that doesn't really amount to anything until the sequels. I was looking at the map trying to like write a description of the place.
Yeah.
It's just super confusing to look at a distance.
Yeah.
It's like a crazy maze.
Yeah, I remember I remember being lost in there a lot. I also remember because there's only like 5 different electric Pokemon. There's not a lot, right? I feel like there's not a ton. Maybe I'm making this up.
If we're counting evolutionary families as one, which I usually do.
Yeah.
There's exactly 5.
Nailed it. But like, this is the first time you see electric Pokemon. Like, they're not really out and about.
You can encounter Pikachu in Viridian Forest, but that's it.
Yeah, but that's, like, a crazy rare.
Yeah.
And if you get a Pikachu that early, you are flying. You are great.
Right.
Especially if you were dumb and got a Charmander, then you need
Pikachu. Well, I mean, if you were dumb and got a Charmander, that Pikachu's not going to help you with Brock.
No, but it will help you when you get the Misty.
It will help you with Misty.
But anyway.
Much better than Paris will.
Yeah.
That was a mistake raising that goober.
But anyway, yeah, like there's like a lot of electric Pokemon in here, and this is the first time you see that. And so it makes them feel like powerful and mysterious.
And like hidden.
Yeah.
Kind of like secret.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because you can get some of them, I think, on Cinnabar Island, but not very commonly.
No.
And I think that's it. There might be some Electrode in a Rocket hideout, but I don't think that's in this game. I think that might be later.
I don't remember. Anyway, continue. It's hard to look at from a distance.
Very hard to look at from a distance. There's like walls that like it doesn't look like it's set up to be anything but a maze. Like it doesn't look like it was once a functioning power plant.
Right,
just looks like a building that was designed to be a dungeon for the player to explore.
Right, it doesn't look like it existed in universe.
There's a lot of items in here. We'll talk about the key ones a little later. But a good chunk of the item balls are actually Voltorb and Electrode trying to trick you.
I got pranked a lot.
Yep.
And I got pranked probably every time because I was like, I'm going to get that. What if it is a Pokeball? Like, what if it is an item?
So it's an abandoned building. It's full of like rock tiles, which I guess are just pieces of the building that caved in or whatever.
Yeah.
So if you combine that with the hazard of the Voltorb and Electrode pretending to be items, it's a very dangerous place to hunt for treasure.
For a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be there.
Again, no, like the only reason to go there is to explore it and find stuff, hopefully.
Yeah.
It's also the only known roost for the legendary bird Pokemon Zapdos.
Ooh.
Who is the other Pokemon that's available on Route 10. So in Generations 2 and 4, the power plant has been refurbished and is used to power the Kanto Radio Tower in Lavender Town.
Wait!
And just as a fair warning, there's going to be a lot of spoilers for a little bit here.
Wonderful!
When the player first arrives, it is revealed that a machine part has been stolen, and so no power is currently being generated. The player can then travel to Cerulean City Gym and catch a Team Rocket member in the act of hiding the machine part in the pool.
Oh, this is what that goes to. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't want to hide that in a pool.
No.
T-Bucky, you stupid.
I'm pretty sure you fight him, and then he's like, oh, no, and he leaves, and you just pull it out of the pool. I have this machine part now.
Yeah, I'll put it in my backpack, carry
throw
around
it in my backpack, which just fits everything.
I'll put it next to my bike.
I was thinking about being a Pokemon trainer, like sometimes you just do.
Oh, yeah.
I worked the other day, and I looked at my backpack, which is just a drawstring Legend of Zelda backpack, and I was like, there's no way I could fit 99 potions in there and anything else.
I have a drawstring that I usually use, but my preferred backpack is like a nice EMS bag. But even that, you couldn't fit a ton in. Like, I've moved 3 times and stuffed it to the gills.
Right.
Because I have this weird issue where when I move, I put Buffy the Vampire Slayer in there. So if I do lose everything else that I own, I will at least have all seven seasons of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Takes up quite a bit of space. It's also got like a laptop pocket, which is not useful for anything in Pokemon, I don't think. Because it's flat. Like, there's not a lot.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
You put your TMs in there. Get a little binder.
Get like a CD binder. CD binder for your TMs in.
But yeah, I was thinking about that also recently, and it's like, oh, I found this. Like, if you're in the game, like let's take some theater of the imagination. You're in there. You are like, hey, stop putting that thing in the pool. You'll get rust in there, and it'll be polluted or whatever. And you take it. Oh, here's this like 50-pound machine part. That's all you know about it.
That's all the description we have because we're a dumb 10-year-old boy.
And instead of being like, I'm going to give this to a cop or I'm going to throw it away or whatever, you're like, I'll put this in my bag and walk around with it.
You throw it in your backpack. You're like, I'll bring it back myself.
And yeah, like, what an intrepid little kid.
Maybe it was wrapped in like a trash bag or something.
Maybe. Also, you're going to have
like... What was Team Rocket's plan? I'm going to steal this machine part.
In the gym? Where there's a lot of people all the time?
Team Rocket's plan in Gold and Silver and Crystal, and Heart Gold and Soul Silver, is to use the radio towers to reach Giovanni and get the band back together.
Essentially.
So why would they steal a machine part so that the Kanto radio tower is not getting any power? And then hide it in a gym? In a pool?
I don't know.
Why wouldn't you just, like, keep it? If your plan is to, for whatever reason, break down the Kanto radio tower...
I mean...
Just keep it, right?
Yeah.
What are you doing, Team Rocket?
I don't know.
Do you work for Rita? What is your plan?
I think they're trying to be real clever, and they're being too clever
by half.
They have
no leadership.
Yeah, exactly. So they have a plan, but no one to be like, that plan won't work because it doesn't make sense. So they're like, we're just going to do the plan. Anyway, you have this machine part.
Bring it back, give it to the head honcho at the power plant.
This is in the future when everything is back up and running. Should we talk about that after? Let's do the first part first.
Okay.
If there's nothing left.
I mean, I'm already talking about the new stuff.
Okay.
It's just a maze with a Zapdos in it. That's
right. That's the whole point. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So then you come back a couple years later, and then you give him back this machine part that they stole to hide, I guess.
I don't know.
They stole so that you could give it back.
They reward you with a TM, which I'll talk about with the items a little later. That also reactivates the Kanto radio tower, which has like Oak's Pokemon talk on it. It has a couple other stations. One of them is just Pokeflute station, which you can use to wake up a Snorlax. Yeah.
Better than hanging on to another item.
Down in Vermilion, I think, is where he is. So that's neat.
That's
kind of the whole purpose of it, is to wake up that Snorlax, now that I'm thinking about it.
So you do have to go there in this game.
Right.
But in the first one, you have a flute.
Given a flute by an old man, which we'll talk about next episode.
Okay.
Yeah, next episode's Lavender Town.
I'm excited.
That's exciting.
I'm going to do some googs. I'm gonna come ready for Lavender Town.
So come back after you get all 16 Johto and Kanto badges in Heart Gold and Soul Silver, and Zapdos will just be chilling outside because it's like inhabited by people now, so he doesn't go in there.
Right.
Gold, Silver, and Crystal, you cannot get the legendary birds. You have to trade them.
That's weird, but it makes sense.
Because technically Red caught them, I guess.
Right. I think that's...
But Heart Gold and Soul Silver, the legendaries being captured are just not canon.
Right.
From what I can gather.
Wait, the legendary birds or the legendaries in general?
In general, because they're all there.
Right.
Mewtwo's back. We're under a spoiler tag still, so...
Yeah. That's weird. I guess, I mean, unless Red let him go when he died and became a ghost to go sit up on a mountain. that's my own personal theory.
That's a pretty good one.
I think it
makes... His Pokemon also all dead then?
I hope not, but maybe? I haven't thought about that.
That would be weird. Pokemon available in the power plant in Generation 1. There's Pikachu, Raichu, Magnemite, Magneton, Voltorb, Electrode, Electabuzz, and Zapdos at the end of it. In the yellow version, Grimer and Muk are added in, which is a direct reference to the anime episode Sparks Fly for Magnemite, in which Grimer and Muk take over a power plant in Gringy City.
Does not exist. I didn't go
this
there.
This does not exist, so we did not watch that. And by we, I mean Jake did not watch that episode.
Yeah, cha.
In Generations 2 and 4, there is a trade with a scientist or an electrician, I guess.
Okay.
You can trade a Dugtrio for one of his, or not one of his Magneton.
Okay.
Which is also holding a metal coat, which is useful for trying to evolve Scyther or Onix.
Right. Fair trade. I think it's a fair trade.
I think so. And Generation 3 doesn't add anything, but it removes Raichu and Electrode. So all the item balls are just Voltorbs now.
Okay.
And Raichu is not encounterable, which is a weird decision.
I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense because he can only evolve from Thunderstone. So, like,
right.
Not a whole lot in the wild. And also changing it so there's no Electrodes is that way the Pokeballs look correct. It's not just a Volt.
They're not just upside down.
Yeah, an Electrode sitting there upside down waiting for you. Because that would be goofy.
What a goof.
Yep. In Generation 1, that's the only way it makes sense.
Yep.
Sleeping with on their head.
Dumb, with their dumb, permanent Cheshire grin, just upside down.
And like angry eyes.
Ready to explode at a moment's notice. Those are weird, weird Pokemon.
Yep.
I'm really excited to talk about the Power Ranger Pokemon teams. And that just reminded me of it for some reason.
Okay.
Hey guys, Jake from the future cutting in to tell you that that's out right now. It's the last episode in the feed. You can just go find it. It's on iTunes. It's super easy to get. We had a lot of fun doing it. And I think you might too. Back to the episode.
Items of note. In Red, Blue, and Yellow, there's TM33, which has Reflect. That is down the first and second forks in the path. I don't know what that translates to. I just wrote that. I just copied that from Bulbapedia.
Wait, which generation was that?
One.
I mean, I know what
I mean, if
forked
you,
paths are, yeah, so I just imagine if you see one.
If you keep forking, then you will get Reflect.
Okay.
In Generation 1 and 3, there's TM25, which has Thunder. That's in the room on the bottom right. Apparently, TM33 does not have a different one in that location for Fire Red and Leaf Green. I'm not sure what's there.
Huh. Quick question. What's Reflect do?
Reflect raises your team's defense for 5 turns. So it puts up like a barrier so you can switch, but the defense boost still stays.
Okay, that's cool.
In Gold, Silver, and Crystal, you can find TM07, which contains Zap Cannon.
I like that. I like that name.
That's your reward for returning the machine part. In Heart, Gold, and Soul Silver, it's TM57, which is Charge Beam. Zap Cannon is a pretty cool move. It's got a decent power, but it is only 50% accuracy, but is guaranteed paralysis if it hits.
Oh, okay.
Charge Beam is an electric move. It does stuff. I don't know what the bonus is.
It probably charges once. It probably takes a turn to charge and then is powerful, maybe?
I don't think it does. I actually don't know what Charge Beam uses. I only ever really use like Thunderbolt or Thunder if I'm using an electric type move.
Yeah.
Should look into that. In Generation 1 and 3, there is a rare candy in the room on the top right. And there are 2 Thunderstones in here, in the power plant.
Okay.
There's one in the room on the top right. And there is one hidden on the floor to the right of Zapdos that you would need to use the item finder or just walk around and
walk around hitting A
to find.
Also, quick note, when you get to Zapdos, save.
Yeah, save before you fight him.
Bring,
like, just as many Ultra Balls as you can afford.
Yep. And then when you run out of Ultra Balls, throw one Pokeball and catch him immediately.
Yeah.
Because that's how Pokemon works. That's Pokemon knows. It knows what you're trying to do, and it's going to mess with you that way. I probably fought Zapdos the most times because I was like, I'm catching you. You are going to be caught.
I had the easiest time catching Zapdos out of the 3.
Really?
The one I had the most trouble with was Articuno.
Don't really remember Articuno.
The only reason I am sure of that is because it's the only one I remember being frustrated trying to catch. All the other ones, I'm just like, yeah, I had them.
Yeah, Moltres is the one that I had, I think, the hardest time with. And I think it's only because one time, like the first time I got there, I fought him and I killed him on accident. And I was like, oh, turn it off, turn it back on. I hadn't saved for like an hour. And I was like, well, okay. And you're a kid. You got nothing else to play. So you're like, I'll do it again.
Right, you
now.
Just bumped your way through Rock Tunnel in the dark, so you can just get back to Moltres again. No problem.
Coming out your ears back then. And then you get there and you're like, save for real this time. But I fought Zapdos a lot, I remember. Zapdos also is my favorite of the legendary birds.
Minus Articuno.
Cool.
So that's it for the locations this episode.
Awesome.
There's no anime stuff.
Nope.
So
Hallelujah!
That is.
Hallelujah!
That is so nice.
No anime. There is the Gringy City, but that's not a real place. That's a fake place.
It's a fake anime
made
place.
Made up for the
so
anime.
We're not going to worry about it.
There's also one called Dark City, which is a movie that I like, but it's got nothing to do with it. The plot of Dark City, according to Netflix, is that there are just, this is totally aside, there are gym trainers just wandering around the town, like gym leaders, and they'll just fight anyone in town. Like the whole town, it's like Battle City from Yu-Gi-Oh, which is crazy.
Is this an Indigo League
episode? This is Indigo League, yeah.
Shoot, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I saw it when I was looking it up. I was looking at the episodes the other day. Huh. Anyway, let's go rate some names. All right, Josh, it was my turn to get nicknames, but right before we started recording, you asked if I did, and I said no, and I asked if you did, and you said no, and so we just grabbed a couple real quick, and then we're going to do some randos, so why don't you do the two of the ones that were sent in.
Okay.
And then we'll do some randos. That's probably how we'll do it from now on. If we get submissions, we'll do two of them, and then we'll just find a random thread on Reddit or wherever.
We'll just search the internet for Pokemon nicknames. I'm sure there's infinite of them.
Probably. So who's first?
This first one comes from friend of the show, Sky. It's at Sandwich Surplus on Twitter. The Pokemon is Rapidash.
Okay.
The nickname is Slevin, and this is the name of the racehorse that sparks the plot of Lucky Number Slevin.
That's a really great movie.
I've never seen it. I've never been into racehorse movies.
It's not a racehorse movie. Oh. It's a crime noir movie.
Oh.
That's very funny. It stars Bruce Willis and Josh Hartnett. It's a real good movie that... I thought I was one of the two people that saw it. The other person was my other friend, Josh, who I saw it with in the theater.
So well, now Sky, you're one of three people that have seen
it. So I like it. I'm going to give it an Ultra Ball.
All right. I like it. Rapidash is a racing horse in the anime, so I like that.
That's cool. Doesn't it have like a flame down the whole center? Is it just its...
It does. Here's how they explain it in the anime. If it likes you, it won't burn you. If Rapidash does not trust you, then its fire burns. So Ash spends most of the episode getting burned by Rapidash.
That's fair.
Because Ash Ketchum is a loser. I want to give this one a great ball. I think it's pretty good. It doesn't hit me the same way it hits you.
Right.
But it's still a pretty decent nickname.
Cool. All right. Next.
The next one is from William. It's at William Coney on Twitter. It's the second of two that he sent us. This one is for Octillery. And its name is Howitzer.
That's a good name for
Explain
Octillery.
Explain it to me, because I'm a dumb.
Howitzer is, and I might be wrong, and I'm the dumb, I think it's a tank.
Okay.
So, Octillery, having like a tank shooty nose.
It does, and it gets like every kind of shooty attack.
Yeah.
Which is real cool. I like Octillery a lot. I just wish it was better.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Beedrill.
Well, Beedrill at least got a mega evolution, which is apparently pretty good.
All right, cool.
Octillery is just a frumpy little octopus.
Oh, I'm an octopus.
I'm so slow.
I'm going to give it, I like the name, I'm going to give it a great ball because I don't love the Pokemon itself. The name is good, but I'm not a huge fan of Octillery. Just because it looked like an Octorok and I was like, why?
It definitely, and it evolves from a fish.
Yeah, that's the thing that I don't like the most is that
it evolves from a Remora fish.
Yeah. If anything, that Remora fish should turn into a shark.
Right.
That would make the most sense.
I'm not going to hold the goofiness of Octillery against it because I like Octillery a lot. But I'm still going to give it a great ball. I think it's a pretty good nickname.
All right. So those are the two from submissions. If you have submissions of your own, you can...
Submit them.
Hold on.
Via Twitter or email.
Later. Yeah, we'll tell you later. I just get hold
on. We did get another one from Sky, but I don't like to double up on users. So we will...
Right.
We will do that next time.
Okay, so I have a thread pulled up on Reddit. I'm just going to randomly scroll through.
Ooh, this is exciting. This is like spinning a wheel.
Okay. This is from Reddit user Vanillite1.
Ooh, Vanillite getting some love on the podcast.
All right, well, you're on my list, Vanillite. I named my Talonflame Angry Bird. I may change it to Songbird Bird or Smogon Bird.
Oh,
or Bird Jesus later, but right now it is named Angry Bird.
Let's rate Angry Bird and forget the other garbage names he mentioned. Yep.
I'm going to give it a... what's number two? Premier Ball?
Premier Ball.
I'm going to give it a Premier Ball.
It's a red bird. It's half fire. It's fire flying, so I could see where...
Oh, like the game Angry Birds. Like the, that didn't connect to me for a second.
And it definitely looks grumpy.
I'm going to upgrade it to a great ball. I thought he just it Angry Bird.
This bird is bad. He's Angry Bird. Yeah, if you're listening, Vanillite 1, is that it?
If Vanillite 1, that's it.
If you're listening, stick with Angry Bird. Those other ones are trash.
Yeah, Burgess is, I think, a reference to Twitch Plays Pokemon, but that was a Pidgeotto.
That was a Pidgeot, I think.
Yeah, and then... the other one, Smogon Bird.
Why would you name it that?
I don't know.
This is my coughing Smogon Ball. That's stupid. Don't
is it like
that.
A popular Pokemon in the battle circuit?
It might be. I don't know. I don't know what any of that is.
Okay.
Is it Garchomp? Then it's popular. I don't know the rest.
That's all I know about Garchomp, really. People use him when they fight for reals.
He's a street shark. I'm going to name him after whatever the Hammerhead Street Shark's name was.
I don't remember. I would probably name him Jossum. All right, next up.
Did I rate it? It's
I don't
great
think
ball.
You did. Great ball? Okay, all right. All right, so next up is from Captain Canuck 47. I like this one. My Zigzagoon is named Ziggy Azalea. I don't know what the next one's going to be, but I am pretty confident that this is as
I don't think
it
it's going to top Ziggy Azalea.
I'm going to give this a master ball.
I will too.
Okay, way to go, Captain Canuck. And finally, on the roulette name, if I get one of those two again, I'm going to... flip my cookies. Oh, this guy's got a huge list, so I just kind of landed in the middle. We're gonna go with a Suicune named Anubis. I'm giving that a Pokeball.
A Pokeball?
I'm
really?
Giving that a Pokeball. Here's why. Anubis is a jackal. Suicune is a big cat.
Suicune's definitely a dog.
Suicune looks like a cat.
No, look at its face. It's definitely got a dog snout.
Hold on one second. I might upgrade it.
Entei and Raikou, definitely cats. Suicune is the most dog-like.
Okay, I'm looking at Suicune. That's not a dog face to me.
Yeah, it is. What?
No, it's like a
what
little...
What cat has a snout like that?
Like Siamese cats.
No way.
They got like little longer faces. I don't think it's... It's not a cat face either, but it's not a dog face.
That's why we call them legendary beasts and not legendary dogs.
Because only one of them can be misconstrued as a dog. Okay, so also, in addition to this, I don't think... This is my personal preference of naming. I don't think that looks like a dog. It's not a death god. It's a wind god.
It's a wind god, but also has some influence from... I'm not sure what culture it's from, but from the Halcyon, which is a real bird, I think. But there's a legendary one that can purify water by touching it.
Okay.
And Suicune has that ability.
Okay, so that's a bird, not a jackal also, right? Okay, so this is by the Shiny Guru.
I still think it looks like a dog. I'm looking at it, and I definitely think this is a dog. This is a big wind dog that can purify water. I'm not going to give it more than a Premier Ball, though.
Yeah, I don't think. I'm giving it a Pokeball. Sorry, buddy. Maybe Ziggy Azalea got me too high, so I overcorrected.
Right, we can't all be Ziggy Azalea.
But I think you dropped the ball on that one, and if you're listening, hey, sorry, buddy. Them's the breaks. This is why we do randos, because this is why we don't hurt anyone's feelings.
Right, we're not trying to throw shade at anybody. We're just, we don't really particularly love that one.
All right, so that's it for the naming section, the name rating section. We forgot to explain the rules again. We'll get you next time. We'll do it like every three.
We can just do that right now.
Okay, here are the rules.
We'll just do it at the end, because that's always when we remember anyway.
Here are the rules. You send us a Pokemon. You need to give us, or if we find one on the internet, we got two rules. We need a name and a species, and that's it. Any other context is up to you. We rate it on a scale from 1 to 5, starting at Pokeball, going to Premier Ball, Great Ball, Ultra Ball, Master Ball. We only get one Master Ball per person per
episode.
Pretty easy. We've done this before. We haven't done it in a couple weeks, but whatever. Anyway, that's it for this time. If you want to send those, send yours to us. We'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. For now, we're going to go to fan interactions. So, Josh, do we have it? We don't have any emails.
We don't have any emails? Okay, you checked.
I just checked.
I sure didn't. We have very minimal Twitter interaction this week.
Guys, come on.
Come on, we want to talk about...
We
want to show you our Pokemon.
Just let us show you our Pokemon.
Joseph on Twitter, at PhillyGhostCat, asks us, I got my Hoopa from McDonald's, did you?
No.
I did not get my Hoopa from McDonald's. I changed my Wi-Fi settings on my router, and I got my Hoopas from home.
That's a long con that you're running on Pokemon. Maybe a short con.
It's fine. I did go to a couple McDonald's that
did not
have the right Wi-Fi set up.
That's weird, right?
Yeah. So I just was like, I'm just going to do it from home. And I Googled it, and it's super easy. You just set your router name, your SSID, to McDonald's free Wi-Fi with the capitalization matters. So we will put that in the description of the episode.
Okay.
And with no password, download your Hoopas. Reset your settings and you're fine.
We just taught you how to hack the whole internet to get some Hoopas.
This works for anything. If it's a Best Buy exclusive, like Happy Home Designer just had not that long ago, change your name to ATT Wi-Fi, no password, boom, downloaded at my house.
Nice.
So easy. I don't know why they don't just do it over regular internet, because you can just hack it.
Yeah, I think it's like a partnership incentive.
Yeah.
But
McDonald's probably paid them money to have Hoopa.
Probably, and we're teaching you how to not have to go to McDonald's. But, like, I like McDonald's.
I do, too. I went there today. I went to Walmart to pick up a money order for one of my bills, and on my way home, I just got McDonald's for lunch.
Nice. Anything else? Do we have any other?
He also asked, do you guys give out your friend IDs or no? Yes. If you want them, we will give them to you. Just tweet at us, and I will tweet you back mine as soon as I have access to it.
I will send you mine if you want it. I'm not super active in places that you would need my friend ID. But if it helps you out in some way, I can send it to you.
So I sent Joe mine. He sent his. It's on the Twitter. So check that out. We are definitely down to trade or battle. I am anyway.
Yeah,
I don't know if you're at any point where you could do that right now.
Three badges in, you would crush my Combusken.
But yeah, bring it on, nerds. I'll fight you.
Oh, the gauntlet has been thrown. Is there a gauntlet Pokemon? There's not. Is there a glove Pokemon?
No. Hitmonchan has boxing gloves on.
Yeah, it's a whole thing, though. I was hoping it'd be like how that sword Pokemon is a sword, but like a glove. Oh, well.
No. Oh, but the ice cream one is stupid. Moving on. That's it for fan interactions this week.
Swords are cool.
But you're talking about a glove.
I think the glove would be stupid, too, but like, I was trying to make the something has been thrown instead of the gauntlet.
Okay, all right.
It just didn't work.
Nope.
Though now, I kind of want a glove Pokemon.
It would just be Glover.
Or the Hamburger Helper.
All right, we're going to move on to this week's Pokemon Spotlight.
Who's that Pokemon?
It's Zapdos!
Yeah, we're doing the Legendary because you don't really encounter him anywhere else.
You encounter him at the power plant. So.
Or like randomly walking through Kalos. That happened to me once.
Depending on which starter you picked.
Is that how it goes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I picked
Froakie.
Dummy Frog. Froakie.
Yeah.
So I got Moltres, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I started with Fennekin, so I got Zapdos. I guess if you started with Chespin, you got Articuno. Is there a rhythm to that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because the only one that has any kind of relationship weakness-wise is Greninja and Moltres.
Right. Well, I mean, Ice and Grass are...
Right, but it's the other way.
It's the opposite way.
Yeah.
I feel like
and then the other one is just, this was left.
Right. Here you go.
That might also be wrong. I'm not sure if that's the way it's set up or not. I think I had Moltres, but I'm not positive.
I have no idea.
It's been so long since I played a Kalos game. Anyway, Zapdos is Pokedex number 145 and is categorized as the electric Pokemon.
Okay.
Boogie Woogie Woogie. I've been trying to make that joke this whole episode. There it is. its type is electric and flying. It is... Now, it has a height.
Okay.
I don't know if this is head to feet or wingspan.
I'm thinking head to feet.
Okay. It's 5'3".
The wingspan is definitely bigger than that. So I'm saying I'm saying that's head to... That's 1 inch shorter than me.
Yeah, he's not a big bird.
That would be scary, though.
He's a big bird, but for a legendary...
Yeah, you would think
God of Thunder, he's not very large.
7'3".
And it weighs 116 pounds.
Okay. Here's a question that I have. It's legendary.
Yep.
How many people have seen this? How many people have gotten close enough to measure it?
I imagine the people who have seen this are held in the same regard as the people who have seen, Bigfoot.
Right.
Right? Until you walk up and catch it. No one can really confirm it.
Right. They're like, it's 5'3", it's like 116, and you're like, oh, here it is, Zapdos, why don't you stand on this scale? Oh, also, it's 8 feet tall.
It's 8 feet tall, weighs like 6 pounds, because it's just made out of electricity.
It's made of electricity and some hollow bones.
I'll buy 116 pounds. I definitely think it's bigger than 5'3", though.
Yeah.
It just seems absurdly tiny for a legendary bird. The abilities it can get are Pressure, which doubles the opponent's PP usage, so each attack takes 2 instead of 1. And its hidden ability is Static, which has a 30% chance of paralyzing an attacking Pokemon if the attack it used makes contact. So stuff like tackle, quick attack, anything that physically it hits Zapdos.
Right.
Every move, I guess, has a hidden check for that. Because it's not, like, even physical moves don't necessarily make contact.
Right.
Which is a weird mechanic.
Pokemon, man.
There's a lot of weird mechanics still. They've pulled back the veil a little bit on a lot of stuff, but there's still some things that are just like, we hint at this mechanic in abilities and stuff, but don't directly tell you what
it is. We're never going to explain it.
Outside of battle, static increases the encounter rate of electric Pokemon that exist in the area to a flat 50%. So there's a 50% chance you will encounter an electric Pokemon if one exists in that area.
Okay.
If your lead Pokemon has the static ability.
So this would be much easier to get Pikachu.
Yeah. If you just went into Viridian Forest with static, half of your encounters would be Pikachu.
That would be crazy.
Yeah. And I had kind of a hard time with the Pokedex entry because a lot of them are just the same because it's just a myth, kind of.
Right.
So I think I did a pretty good job. It might be a little more disjointed than usual because I also wrote it under a time crunch. Zapdos is a legendary bird Pokemon whose appearance is accompanied by powerful thunderstorms caused by the flapping of its wings. Some say that when the Pokemon itself appears, the heavy storm cloud can be seen splitting in two around it. It is now thought that the Pokemon makes its home within the storm clouds as it grows more powerful when struck by lightning, rather than being the cause of them. The snapping and crackling of its glittering wings can be heard in the distance as the Pokemon flies, and it has free control over lightning and possibly thunder, but only one of the Pokedex entries said it could freely control thunder, and I think that might have just been a translation error.
Right.
And it meant lightning.
Yeah, because thunder is just noise.
Thunder is just a noise.
Also, you cannot hear glittering, no matter how close to it you are.
Well,
unless it means, like, the twinkling kind of noises.
I don't think... The glittering is more of a physical description of its wings, and the snapping and crackling are...
Okay.
Are the sounds it makes... It said glittering wings like 6 times, so I wanted to write it in there.
Okay. But it says, like, you can hear its glittering wings. Well, you can hear the wings. You can't hear the glitter part.
Well, you hear the snapping Semantics. And crackling of its glittering wings.
That I will accept.
That's how I wrote it.
Okay.
That's how I read it, right?
I think so.
Okay. So that's pretty much it for Pokedex stuff.
Okay. A lot of it is just...
It may be the cause of thunderstorms, or may just choose to live in them.
Might be, like, attracted to thunderstorms.
Yeah.
The
myth, like, the legend of it is that it causes thunderstorms.
I like that as the legend.
I think the reality is that it just lives in storm clouds.
I like that. I think that's neat because, like, you know, once you catch this legendary bird, you can actually see what it wants and what it does.
Yeah.
But, like,
and it'll still
before
keep
then.
Raining. So.
Yeah.
Even though he's in a ball on a 10-year-old's waist.
Right, because in the universe of Pokemon, you are the first person to catch it because there's one. If the next time there's a thunderstorm, you'd be like, oh, myth busted.
What about some trivia? You want me to drop some knowledge?
Love for that to happen.
All right. Zapdos shares the category of electric Pokemon with Elekid and Electabuzz.
Okay.
In Japan, this one is very funny to me. In Japan, Zapdos' name is just thunder.
Okay.
Okay.
Like thunder, like the English word thunder?
The English word thunder.
Okay.
It's nearly identical to Jolteon's Japanese name, Thunders.
I can see that getting I don't think it would get confusing because Japan, the Japanese language is a very context and like propriety based like language, so like
right
you would be specific and everyone would get that, like, oh, if you said that you must have meant that.
Yeah.
So but like if you named it that over here, we'd be like, which one though?
Why did you name it that stupid thing?
It's like, oh, this is Thunder, this is Thunders. You'd be like, oh, I got my Thunders. You'd be like, yeah, there's only one. How did you get more than one in the game? And they'd be like, no, I meant the one that evolved from Foxcat.
Right, you couldn't just say I meant Jolteon, because that's a way better name.
Jolteon's much better
than Thunders. In Generation 5, Zapdos' hidden ability is actually Lightning Rod, not Static. But it is impossible to obtain a hidden ability Zapdos legally in that generation.
How then? Why?
It's programmed in there to have one. They just never released it.
That's weird.
And then when it finally is able to be captured, they changed it to Static.
That's real weird. What does Lightning Rod do?
Lightning Rod draws all electric attacks to it and nullifies them. So if someone, it's really helpful in double battles where if someone uses an electric attack, Zapdos will just eat it.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, and it doesn't do any damage or anything. It's just a useless thing.
I like that. But you can't get one. You have to hack it.
Yeah, you have to hack it in. And then if you transfer it up, it changes to static. So
that's great. It's bananas. Anything else? Do we want to talk about the...
I have a couple more.
Okay.
All right, I'll back up. It's the only legendary bird with a type advantage over both other birds. Because Articuno's ice attacks have an advantage over Zapdos, but not over Moltres.
Right.
Moltres has an advantage over Articuno, but not over
Zapdos.
But Zapdos' electricity is super effective against both of their flying types.
Okay.
That's the only one that's like that. It's a weird...
Right.
It's just a weird little factoid, because that's what trivia is.
Yeah.
And finally, it requires the least amount of badges to encounter out of all the legendary birds, only requiring the Boulder Cascade and Soul Badge. And apparently you can get to the Soul Badge without getting anything in between, if you so choose.
Really?
I've never done that, but I guess you can if you want, so... I don't know why, because then you get that, you're like, yeah, now I have to go back and get the other ones anyway. Right.
Oh, also, it kicked my butt because I'm only level, like, 11. Me and my level...
Well, theoretically, the only trainers you wouldn't fight are the other gym leaders. You could still fight every other trainer.
Right.
Just not get the badge.
Right. Okay, yeah. That's neat.
Yeah.
Also, this is the fact that everyone whose their brain melted when they first learned this, when you were a child, is that... The legendary birds have the first three Spanish numbers in them.
I have that written under the origin section.
Oh, I didn't know.
No, that's fine.
What else?
Let's talk about the origin.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
It's based on the Native American Thunderbird.
Exactly correct.
Yeah.
Zapdos is based on the Native American Thunderbird, the spirit of thunder, lightning, and rain, known to create thunder with the beating of its wings. But it may also have some influence from the lightning bird, which is said to be created wherever lightning happens to strike the earth. That makes a lightning bird.
So there could be like a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Coming. Well, there
yeah, it's not just one of those.
Right.
And then the name origin is Zap and the Spanish word dos for two.
Zap two.
Meaning it is the second of the three legendary birds.
Right. Yet the first one you can encounter.
Yep. I think it just works out that way on the map.
I don't know
why they numbered them.
Are
like
they
that.
Numbered in order? Like in the Pokedex?
Yeah.
Okay. That's only over here. That's only in English though. So.
Right.
Maybe they were like, let's do a fun thing. Or they thought of, like, the name Articuno, and they're like, what if we did it? I don't know. I liked it, though. I like that they're named like that.
Yeah. It's the only one I think that's... Oh, nope. No, it's not.
Oh, there's Reggie Uno, Reggie Dos, and Reggie Trace.
No, there's... What the heck is his name? Dino Zuelis and Hydreigon have the German numbers for 1, right. 2, 3 in them.
Okay. But they're not legendary.
They're not.
They're an evolution
branch. They are the Dragonites of Generation 5.
Okay.
Yep.
That's it for Zapdos?
That's it for Zapdos.
What would you name a Zapdos?
His name is Zapdos. There's only one.
I would still name
mine. Like, this is my Loch Ness monster. This is my Nessie that I named Jen.
Well, I mean, the Loch Ness monster's name is Nessie. Is
right. That... All right. So this is my
Bigfoot.
This is my Bigfoot. Jeff. I named him Greg.
I would name a Zapdos lemon cakes if I'm going with food items. I'm going with regular person names. Bill. I think Bill would be a good name for Zapdos.
Bill?
Yeah. He seems like a Bill to me. Or I wouldn't name him. Or I would be super creative when I was a child and name him like Thunderbird.
Well, it's gender neutral, I think is the word I'm looking for. It doesn't have one.
Right.
So, I mean, you could name it like Julia.
Yeah.
It's like Jules. It's like electric.
That's it. I like that. See? I like that.
I'd probably go with that if I had to name one.
Cool. That's it for today. Sorry that the Pokemon Spotlight and the Q&A was out of order. It happens.
If that really bothers you, let us know, because we did this without a paper outline in front of us.
We normally
this time.
Have one. I didn't bring it out. This is bad.
I don't mind them getting mixed up. I kind of like ending on the Pokemon.
Okay, we can switch that now if you prefer it.
Let us know what you think.
Yeah, let us know.
If it matters to you, write in and tell us.
Yeah, if not...
If not, we're doing it this way until I forget and we do it the other way again by accident.
I will have to reprint the outline, which is fine because I've been meaning to clean it up anyway. Regardless, if you would like to get a hold of us in any way, do that in a couple different places. First and foremost, Twitter, Tumblr, and Facebook at PWT Podcast and all of those locations on the internet.
Yeah. Or you can email us at PWTPodcast@gmail.com. You can also hunt down our personal Twitters if you want. They're not hard to find.
No, they're lurking around. And our theme song is The Destiny Infinite by Dark Sword off of the OC Remix album, the EVEP, which you can find at ev.ocremix.com. And you can find Dark Sword on Twitter at Dark Sword. That's DarkeSword. Go check him out. He's got He's great at music.
And the other music on the podcast is from the Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver Super Music Collection, available on iTunes, so go check that out. I don't think we used anything else special in this episode.
I mean, I haven't edited it yet, obviously, but I don't think so.
I don't think we're going to.
I don't think so. I mean, if you want to check out Scotine's, I don't know how to pronounce it.
I say Scotine.
Scotine.
We'll it might be Scotine. I don't.
The I is second. We'll go with Scotine for now. You can check out the, was it Pokemon Kanto Reorchestrated?
Yes. Pokemon Reorchestrated, the Kanto Symphony.
Okay. You can go check that out. Also, like I said, check out the rest of the Eevee EP. I might start peppering in those songs. If I do, I will make a note of it ahead of time so I can tell you which one I used and who made it. But that's it. Next time, we're going to a town.
Spookum town.
Spooky, spooky town filled with spookums and haints. And I think it's going to be a good time. I think we're going to have a real good time there. It's Lavender Town.
Yeah, if you enjoy haunted houses, you'll have fun in Lavender Town.
I think so. But that's it for today. I've been your host, Jake.
And I am your guide, Josh.
And until next time,
smell you later!